You're listening to New Hampshire Now, presented by the New Hampshire College and University Council and also by New Futures.
New Hampshire Now, 109, 1450 and nhtalkradio.com. I am Chris Ronapish. Joining us for the program this hour of New Hampshire Now is presented by the Prescription Center and a segment of the show brought to you by Dennehy and Boulay. If you're looking for experienced professionals in government affairs, Dennehy and Boulay are your guys. Check them out at DennehyBoulay.com. The segment also presented by Suncook Dental. Dr. Andrew Albin and his team are phenomenal. Their focus is on your comfort and care as a patient. I encourage you to check out Suncook Dental at suncookdental.com. Dr. Albee is with us here, as he is each Friday here on the program. It's been a pretty good show here so far, so hopefully that doesn't change with your appearance. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. I'll do my best.
Appreciate you joining us for the show. It is Good Friday, which means that Easter, if everything works out, is going to follow that.
2 days.
2 days.
3 days. 2 days, if you count.
Let's not do. Let's
okay.
not do this.
All right.
It is 2 days after right.
Sunday,
right? Well, yeah. Let's not do this.
Okay.
So Easter is coming.
It
two
is.
Days. What are your plans?
Family stuff.
Yeah.
Mass at 10. Jelly bean hunt. Have my parents bring
jelly bean hunt.
Yeah. It's
Is it an outdoor thing?
It isn't. It's actually a lot of fun. It takes the competitiveness of an Easter egg in the lawn hunt, and it jacks it up by a factor of 10. Hmm. So what we do is we get different colored
jelly. Is the Easter bunny involved in this, or is he not?
I never really understood the Easter bunny. He can come if he wants.
Right.
Is he a he? Is
Judging by, I'm unsure.
All right, yeah. I guess it was
generally is thought to be a he, but I'm
all
not.
Right, we'll go with that then.
Yeah.
If he wants to join the Albee family
on right.
Plaza Hill Road, he's more than welcome. but yeah, we hide different colored jelly beans in a room, usually our living room, in plain sight. Can't touch anything. It seems like it would be easy, right? And then you get down to your 14th or 15th, you're looking for 20, and everyone else sees your jelly bean, but they don't see their own jelly beans.
I'm sorry?
They don't see their own jelly beans because they're looking very hard.
So they have their names on them?
No, they're different colors. So everyone has a different color jelly bean, okay. And whoever wins gets a prize, and the prizes get precipitously worse the worse that you do.
But your children are all staggered in terms of age.
Listen, we're all handed, we're all dealt a hand. All right. So typically what I do is the 3-year-old gets the red jelly beans. The 9-year-old might get the ones
so
that are
does,
a little easier
are
to hide. The 9-year-old might get the purple ones or, you know, maybe a brown root beer.
Yeah.
Is that a thing?
I don't know. I'm not a big jelly bean fan.
Oh, well.
I'm missing out?
Ugh. Yeah, maybe I shouldn't be focusing as a dentist so much on the jelly
There's
beans.
There's a lot of, that's not good.
No. No, in general, they're not that great for your teeth.
You should have a carrot hunt.
We should have a carrot and celery hunt. I think that would go over
carrot, celery, broccoli.
That would go over a little worse in the on Easter Sunday.
There's an old story in the family that on my mother's side they used to get like oranges for Christmas. They're not all that rich. And they would get like fruits and stuff instead of
my
gifts.
Mom told the story similarly. They look forward to their orange at Christmas.
Right. So I think that you should bring that back with a hunt that is strictly vegetables.
I should do that just for the look on their face.
You should. You should totally
when
do
little
that.
Carrot sticks and so celery do sticks I, all right, around the room.
Here's what we do. You're gonna shift things around this year.
All right.
So is it your house or your parents' house?
It's in my house.
Okay.
Yeah.
So. upstairs where they normally have the jelly bean hunt,
mm-hmm.
That's where you do the vegetable hunt. But you also have the
jelly bean
hunt downstairs.
Yeah, all right.
So you trick the kids into thinking that they're just doing the vegetable hunt, and see how that goes. And then like, oh, guess what? We also have the jelly bean hunt downstairs.
Is this like a microcosm for basically parenting?
I don't know what it is, but I like it. I like the concept.
Like we intentionally try to, at least for a short period of time, disappoint our children.
Exactly. The biggest problem that we have in life, boys and girls, is expectations.
The biggest one, here it comes.
Is expectations, where we all, that might be hyperbole, but I don't think so, is that you build, you have expectations of things happening a certain way each time. And like that happens, like if you do too much for your kids early on, and then all of a sudden, you realize you have to replicate things over and over again. And this is in other areas of life as well. Generally, like in any circumstance, you tried, in my view, to set the expectations to a reasonable level, but as low as possible. Because you don't want to do something that you can't replicate. Like, if I set a goal of
it's
having...
like the show.
Right,
it's
exactly.
Like the show this morning.
Right. The expectations have been set too high for this segment because Beto was on. We had a great segment with Wayne. We're
and then,
suing...
boom, local dentist comes in.
We're suing some guy for ripping off our Pints and Politics series. And then local dentist comes in to talk about Jelly Bean Hunt. and there was no way. Like, and I made it clear early on. Like, I lowered the expectations for you because I said that we had done so well so far, and yep. Now this is where we're gonna
it's
end up.
The yin and the yang, Chris.
Right.
Right.
So, we are going. Have you seen the movie Planes, Fire and Rescue?
I haven't.
Yeah, we also Chief Anders is here, and Chief Anders' segment was great because we decided to talk about what would happen. I don't know if you're familiar with this, but the president decided that he was going to offer advice in the form of a question as to how to put out the fire at the Notre Dame Cathedral.
Yeah,
and said that he was going to, that he they should perhaps use air water tankers.
I'm not familiar with any of this, but go on.
And so. Initially, like the only frame of reference that I had for air water tankers was from the movie Planes, Fire and Rescue, which was the second of the Planes movie, which was meant to kind of be like Cars, but the characters aren't funny and it's not good. It's like two and a half stars. Where Cars, it's a good series.
So I'm familiar with the show Planes, but
you've seen the Disney show?
Yes.
So it's the same thing, but it's a movie.
Okay, okay.
So they have, you know, Dusty Crophopper.
Yeah. Dane Cook. Is it Dane Cook?
I don't know. It could be. But you'd think of as Dane Cook would be a little bit better than what we're getting at Dusty. Yeah.
We're on the same page now. We should probably prep for this sort of stuff.
No. It's much better when you do it like this. Sometimes. It depends.
So the president offered to help at the Notre Dame Cathedral or in a form of advice, and he went right to...
to the water tankers.
Okay.
And my only frame of reference to the water tankers was from Planes, Fire, and Rescue, the second movie, where they have like these cartoon planes that will drop water on a forest fire. Mm-hmm. And a forest fire starts. There's this shady dude who builds a resort in a national park, and they're trying to stop the fire from getting to the resort. Didn't work out all that well. And so that was my only frame of reference for water tankers. And so, so then I also remember when there was the fire up on Long Pond Road here, they had, helicopters, which drop water. So I looked up and a water tanker is a plane that drops not water, but it drops like some sort of a compound solution from the sky. Okay. And from the sky, that's where they fly.
Typically where planes operate.
And planes tend to travel at a fairly high speed, correct?
From what I know about planes.
Right. So this didn't appear to me to be the best idea for a number of reasons.
Let's spray Paris with chemicals.
But I needed to bring in an expert in order to clarify this.
Did you?
Chief Anders came in, and who has fought fires in Salt Lake City, where he's from originally, before coming here, and is an expert in this, obviously. And so he said what would have happened is two things. One, if they were able to hit the target, which it's not like firing a missile. You are, you know, again, plane, high speed, dropping chemicals from the sky. If it had hit the target, Notre Dame Cathedral, rubble. the whole thing is gone. So you stop the fire from moving if you're able to hit it. But the whole thing is a loss.
Fire extinguished.
the fire is extinguished.
Problem solved.
Yes.
Let's put out a candle with a garden hose. All right.
But the problem is when this is used generally, like you do it in an area that is. And the other problem is also that there is not a lot of forest in Europe. And there may not have been an air or water tanker anywhere because, you know, it's generally used for forests. So who knows if they would have been able to find one. And the other thing is that, you know, you are, again, high speed, plane, chemicals, urban area, dropping this. So there's other buildings and people that are all around there.
There are.
So there's a high chance that you would miss the cathedral.
No one took this advice seriously.
He's the president of the United States.
Yeah. I didn't hear about this. I got to read up on this.
Yeah. So he tweeted that out prior to, and that was the it was an informal question, though. So he was not. It was not a directive that he was giving the Parisian.
Oh, he's just spitballing.
He's just sitting there at the bar. Hey,
doesn't drink.
Hey, you know what? Yeah, he's having a Diet Coke, and some wings. Hey, maybe they should use.
Write this down.
Maybe they should use that thing that the plane the sky that drops the water tanker sky. Bam.
You don't have an impression.
I could, but I don't want to be disrespectful.
All right.
Sam Shawn with 91450 nhtalkradio.com. That is dentist Andrew Albee. Dr. Andrew Albee joining us here on the Hampshire Now program. This hour of the show is presented by Riverbend Community Mental Health. And this segment of the program brought to you by Dennehy and Boulay as well as Suncook Dental. So are you going to do my vegetable concept?
I'm probably not. Oh. What do you guys got planned?
We're going to pray the Easter Bunny comes, because if not, we don't have a backup plan like you have, apparently. Apparently, you're used to Easter Bunny not arriving. He arrives continuously for us. I don't know what you guys have done.
Oh, my parents went, the Easter Bunny comes. My parents did more for us than we do for our own children.
Oh.
But to your point before with the expectations, you set this whole thing up, this bar for every kid, and then you have too many children, like I did, and then it's really, really difficult to keep that going. Yeah. So my younger children are probably going to suffer.
There's no question.
Oh yeah, they're going to. Yeah. Yeah, they're not going to get as much as the older.
We've talked about, like, with Liam, with the first child, you are extremely concerned and cautious about everything, and freak out about the littlest thing imaginable, and want everything to be perfect. And then the second child comes along, and whatever. Yeah, he jumped off the bed the last time and landed on his shoulder, and it was fine. I'm sure it'll be fine again.
You've probably heard that.
Liam, don't do that. You're going to get hurt. You are going to get hurt. Do not jump off the bed. It's Bren. Whatever. The third and fourth, like.
Yeah, I'm sure you've heard when the first one eats dirt, you call poison control.
Oh, yeah,
when
yeah.
the second one eats dirt, you wipe it out of their mouth. When the third one eats dirt, you wonder if they need dinner. and then when the third one eats dirt, you feed dirt to the fourth one so that they seem to survive. So, it's funny. They're really the first, second, third. It does change, right? Like the youngest one will have a cell phone before the
First one.
Old one.
Right.
Right.
Now, right.
You know, not it's certainly chronologically.
Most likely because of stolen it from someone.
Right. Yeah, the first one.
Exactly.
The first one's nice and fourth one.
That is true as well. Where Liam, the oldest child, just like he wonders how Bren gets away with the stuff that he gets away with. Like he is in amazement. Like he's also kind of in awe of Bren, but it also drives him nuts where he would just never think to do most of the things or say most of the things that Bren does. And he looks at him and is like, how does this happen? How does this occur? I have this high set of moral standards, and he is 2 years younger than me does whatever he wants.
Well, Liam, it's because your mother and I are tired.
We don't want to deal with
you. Tired?
We don't want to deal with
you
him.
You softened us up.
Right.
And Brennan comes
in. We thought all children were going to be like you, and then Brennan came along, and it was a little bit different. We love you, Bren. If you're listening, love you.
Yeah, I mean, we do it from a dental perspective. It's like, we worked really hard with Cooper fluoride, brushing, flossing, and we'll let the ball. I shouldn't be saying this again.
You shouldn't.
I have a bad influence on the listenership here, but we still do a good job, but it's a whole lot easier for me to rationalize. Well, Cooper did well, so
right,
we'll be all right with Jack, and we'll be all right with Charlie. And
right, the first, like, in just about everything, the first child is like trial and error. And what you survive with the first child, you then kind of figure out whether it's with sports, whether it's with education stuff, and just everyday things and occurrences. Like, you're like, oh, if he plays that much video games, well, Liam turned out all right. So, yeah, we set the bar at that, set the bar at that level. And so that's how it works. There are handbooks for parenting, but they're not written by anybody credible, I'm sure. And so you're just kind of figuring things out as you go along. And that can have its positives.
It's like radio, right?
It's just like this segment.
It doesn't seem like you have anything written down here. You kind of
never.
You just kind of go into this. And...
No, I just make it up as I go along. Do you want to know about our Pints and Politics lawsuit? Sure you do.
I do. I'm familiar. I've listened to the show. I didn't know that there was a copycat out there.
There is a podcaster in Keene or something, and we were alerted by one of the campaigns that we're getting ripped off by this individual, and then we saw him the team here. Saw him tweeting at a campaign that they wanted Senator Klobuchar to stop by his Pints and Politics, or excuse me, Politics and Pints is his. He does it at a brewery, same type of concept. They have beers with the candidates. And so we're drafting a cease and desist letter.
Redrafting? Nice.
We
pun intended.
Yeah, we're redrafting the cease and desist letter. And he claims that he did not know of our series once he started, but had become aware of it, but has continued to use the name.
Okay.
So he has already admitted his knowledge of the situation and did not go about taking the appropriate steps of changing the name. And we came up, Dean and I came up with two names in 10 seconds that he could have used if he was going to rip us off. And the thing that gets me is the laziness. Like, if why not just change the name? You can rip off my concept. It's a great concept. I love it. So go right ahead. But the and people have done it before. But the using the exact same name but re-altering the letters, like McDowell's from Coming to America and McDonald's, is not exactly on the up and up. So he has claimed that he had knowledge of the show, but has continued to use the name. So therefore, we have decided we're going to sue him for $2
trillion. $2 trillion seems fair. I tend to use the analogy, I tend to try to solve problems the easiest possible way, right? When your neighbor's dog poops on your lawn, you don't call the cops.
You shoot it.
You shoot it. Yeah. You go knock on your neighbor's door and you say, you know, your dog's pooping on my lawn. And typically the neighbor would say, okay, I didn't realize, I'll stop it, right? So when you go to
then
this
guy. Then if he doesn't do it, you shoot it.
Then you
right.
There's a lot of shooting here.
No, I'm serious. If the dog does it the second time, you shoot it.
So following this, your advice to yourself would be to shoot this guy from Keene, which I'm not going to.
No, he's a human being. I'm not going to. Can't do that.
So
it's illegal.
So what this guy should have done was say, I didn't know, and now I know, I'll switch it so
right.
that we don't have to call the cops, right?
Right.
We don't have to involve
right.
other people, right?
I mean, the last thing we want to do is sue him for $2 trillion.
No, my guess is he probably only has, you know, maybe $1
trillion. We want $2 trillion. I've learned everything I need to know in life from President Trump.
And do you have pints in politics?
Let's not get into this part of it. I see where you're going here, and we're not going to get into
the
that
trade
part
name and all that. This is I think the $2 trillion's not looking very good right now. Because if you did, then anyways, I'm not a lawyer, people. All right.
I don't think that's what we really want to talk about right, here right. in regards to this.
Moving on. So Easter's going to be good.
Easter's going to be good. We're praying for the Easter Bunny's arrival, because if not, the kid's going to be sad. So hopefully, you know, it's really stressful, hoping the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus are going to show up, because if they don't, like, it's a problem. So thankfully, they always do.
Yeah, big problem.
Yeah.
You need him to show up.
As always, appreciate joining us for the program.
Thank you.
That is Andrew Albee joining us here on Hampshire Now. 1-9-1450 and nhtalkradio.com. I am Chris Ryan. This hour of the program presented by the Prescription Center, and that segment of the show brought to you by Dennehy and Boulay as well as Suncoast Dental.
You're listening to New Hampshire Now, presented by the New Hampshire College and University Council and also by New Futures.